He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It's 11-11, 2020. 11s and 2s or 11s and 20s. Those are your lottery numbers for the day when you fill out your ticket, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. Look, right now we've got just the opposite of what's been going on Monday and Tuesday. We've got the NASDAQ up and the Dow down. You know, you got to keep in mind that over the last 12 years, since 2009-2008 time period, that last bear market, which took the S&P 500 down some 53%, every sell-off in the NASDAQ has been a buying opportunity, no? Yes. You witnessed that. You saw the NASDAQ hit 12,000 on Monday for a brief moment. So, you know, every time I hear this, oh, there's a cyclical change away from tech and into the cyclicals, it seems to last a day or two, maybe several days, and then it comes back to the tech stocks. That's what we're seeing today. NASDAQ up 160, 11,714. Dow down 10 right now, 29,412. The Dow is running into its resistance level at its all-time high, which just is 100 points away from where it is now. S&P 3562, it's up 17 points. I got to check that out. That's closing in on its all-time high. Russell 2000 down a point today. Crude oil up $1.07 on the vaccine hopes that came out on Monday. Crude's back to 42.43. Gold down $18 an ounce, 18.58. Can't seem to stray too far from that $1,900 per ounce level. Silver down 36 cents to 24.10. And the bond market is pushing up against 1%. There's heavy resistance there. We'll see. It's at 0.96 today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, I took a long trip through the news here this morning. I look under a lot of rocks, I learned that from an old friend of mine that liked to, on the weekends, go up and dredge for gold in the chilly, cold rivers that flow out of the High Sierra Mountains in California, the old gold country, home of the 49ers. He used to put on a wetsuit and get in those ice-cold rivers, and he had this big dredge that would suck out these rocks, that would sort them, and he would come home with maybe a few little nuggets by Sunday night. But he told me the more rocks you look under, the more gold you'll find. I found a couple of gold nuggets this morning that I'm going to talk about in the final segment of the show. Oh, I know, you're just saying that so we'll listen to the whole entire show. Well, I would hope that the rest of the show is good enough to keep your ear tuned here, because there is a lot happening. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is breaking out. It broke out yesterday through resistance. It's closing in on its old high of 29,568. That's going to be a resistance level. We call that a ceiling. Will it get through that ceiling? Or will it back off when it hits that ceiling number, which it almost did yesterday? The S&P is in the same situation. Its all-time high was 35.88. It's at 35.70. Now, it broke through on Monday temporarily through to an all-time high, but then at the end of the day, it sold off and it closed below that all-time high. But it is flirting with that right now, just 18 points away. And it, too, will run into technical resistance. Now, that doesn't mean it won't break out and move on to all-time highs once again, but realize that that's where the technical resistance is. Meanwhile, over at the NASDAQ, which is rebounding today, after two kind of ugly days in the NASDAQ, The NASDAQ chart looks just fine to me. It is above its 50-day moving average. It's above its 200-day moving average. And it looks like it's going to take another run at 12,074, which is just about, 320 points away from where it is now. So we'll watch that. Gridlock comes down to Georgia. That's what it would seem. That's important. Yesterday I spent a lot of time talking about what a corporate tax hike would do, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the math, okay? The target price on the S&P 500 next year has to vary greatly. There has to be two scenarios. One scenario would be with keeping the corporate tax rate the same as it is now. That seems to be a very unlikely scenario. It's getting to be more and more unlikely. The other scenario would be taking it back up to 28%. I mean, you're playing around with like $30 to $35 per share in earnings for the S&P 500. And if you're using a multiple in the 20 area, that's 700 points up for grabs on the S&P 500, Georgia. The market would like to see gridlock, a divided Congress. We'll see if in January will be the night that the lights went out in Georgia, right? Well, it's going to come down to Georgia, it looks like, because North Carolina has now gone to the Republicans. Alaska has not been called yet, and you've got those two runoffs coming up in Georgia. In the meantime, they're searching for enough illegal votes to overturn the results. The market does not seem to be too worried about that. I'll just leave it at that. As I said, I looked under a lot of rocks this morning. Most of them were rocks, okay? But I did find a couple of gold nuggets shining underneath all of that rock. One may have something to do with the Pfizer vaccine, a minor player in all this, but a very key player that you probably haven't put. I try to connect dots. That's what I do. I try to connect dots. I actually found a couple of dots that may be connected to all of this. We'll get to that later on in the show. Yesterday, we had the Dow up 262. But that darned old NASDAQ was down again. Well, that's reversing itself today. As it has every time, the NASDAQ has sold off over the last 12 years. The NASDAQ, that has been a buying opportunity. We'll see if that's true again. At least it is today. Now, there has been a sell-off in the pandemic-related stocks. But I'm hearing more and more, and I've believed this all along. I think this whole work from home, I think this seismic change in the way we do business, the way we eat out, the way we shop, everything, I think that's here to stay. Even if you had a magic wand and the pandemic went away tomorrow, I think a lot of people have gotten used to working in their slippers and their pajamas. Now, I don't work in my slippers and my pajamas. I'm one notch up above that, you know. I have to look pretty good here. But I think a lot of people have gotten used to that. I think it's here to stay. But having said that, you got to pay very close attention to the forward PEs, the PE ratios of some of these stay-at-home stocks. I'm talking the Zoom Infos, the Pelotons, the CrowdStrikes, etc. of the world. I don't really know why the market has turned around here today, and we're having this buyback in the NASDAQ, but it could just be because of the realization that work from home is not exactly over. The digital economy, we call it, the digital economy is probably here to stay, and we're hearing that from others today besides myself, including the ex-CEO of IBM, Gina Rometty. How's the world doing today? It seemed to be just fine. Japan, depending on where you're at in the world, Japan is up 1.8%. China's down 0.5%. India's up 0.75%. There's very strange news coming out of China. Why would they, of all people, be looking at antitrust allegations against some of their biggest companies, which are basically owned in part by the Chinese government? Well, we'll get to that in a bit. I want to talk next about Goldman Sachs upping their S&P 5 target price to 3,700 for this year. Now, to get to that, that's pretty difficult to get to that number. Okay, next year's earnings estimates right now are for $167 per share. Using a 20 multiple on that. Now, this is next year's earnings. You're going to get to about 3,500, a little over 3,500. Goldman must either have higher earnings estimates out there on the street or they're inflating their multiple. I think they're a little high here. High on what? I don't know. CBD gummies? Martha Stewart's got those for the holiday season if you're interested. Don't let the grandkids get into the holiday candy. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow down 37, NASDAQ up big, however, 168. You know, there's a good lesson here in this Goldman Sachs call for 3,700 by the end of 2020, this year. Okay, that's just 6 weeks away. Of course, we're pretty close to that with the S&P 500 right now. At, here comes the bug, around 3560. We're almost at 3600. Now, what are the earnings estimates for this year, 2020? The earnings estimates for this year for the S&P 500 are right around $136 per share. Okay, COVID took about, probably about $35 or more, $35 to $40 per share off of the S&P 500 this year, okay? So this year we're expected to make $136 per share in the S&P 500. Now, you can look at these numbers. You can go to Yardini, Ed Yardini, Yardeni.com. And he publishes his S&P 500, S&P 400, S&P 600 earnings estimates. So now we go back, $136 this year. Next year we're expected to make $168. That's a big jump, right? Well, we're hoping that COVID won't shut down the economy once again. But having said that, how does Goldman Sachs come up with a $3,700 target price? Well, if you use a 20 multiple on this year's earnings, you get to 2,700. Remember what I've said now for many, many years on the show, the market looks ahead. It's not looking at 2020 earnings. It stopped looking at 2020 earnings probably 6 to 9 months ago. It's been looking ahead to 2021 earnings for quite some time. That's why in March, the market priced in earnings of like $120 per share on the S&P 500 for next year. I said, wait a minute, that's not right. We're going to see some kind of V-shaped recovery here, and we're going to get back to at least to where we were in 2019. That's why I was so bold in making very bold, unpopular calls in March, that you need to go in with both hands, with both guns blazing here in late March and early April, because at that point in time, I had a $3,300 target price on the S&P 500. You know, I saw people say, you're crazy. This is the worse than the Spanish flu, okay? This is going to put us into a Great Depression. If you want to see some interesting comments on an article, just go back to some of those articles that I wrote in late March. I was called everything under the book and above the book for making that 3,300, because the S&P got down to 2,300 at that time. I said, this is the most undervalued this market has been in recent memory. Okay, I was right. The market was looking ahead eventually to earnings in 2020, way back in March of this year. Well, now it's looking ahead to 2021, and, of course, Goldman Sachs, to come up with a $3,700 target price, not only are they looking at $168 in earnings next year, but they are also using a multiple. In fact, let's just do the math on that multiple. They're using $3,700 divided by earnings next year of $168. To get to the number that Goldman Sachs is using, they've got to be using a multiple of 22. Okay, well, that's where it's trading at right now. We're at 21.7. But you can see Goldman Sachs is basing their target price on next year's 12 months worth of earnings. And that's kind of how we do it in this industry. We look ahead to the following year. I'm already looking ahead to 2022. But there's an asterisk next to 2021 and 2022. That does not bake into the cake a tax hike, a corporate tax hike. So just wanted to make the point that Goldman Sachs, when you come up with the target price for stocks, you're not looking at this year's earnings. You're looking at next year and the year beyond. I'm looking at the potential earnings 5 years down the road on companies, okay? The market is way forward looking. When the average individual investor is looking at yesterday's headlines, today's headlines, and maybe tomorrow's potential headlines, the market is looking at next year and the year after that headlines. When you start thinking like the market does, you'll do a whole lot better in the market. All those people that were knocking me to death in March of this year were looking at the current situation instead of looking down the road. Not only do you have to connect the dots in the stock market, you have to be looking like a good pool shark, right? He's looking at the shot on the table right now, but they're usually looking 8-9 shots down the road. You have to do the same thing in the stock market. That's why it ain't so easy as some of the do-it-yourselfers think it is. Okay, so anyways, 3,700. Now, what's going on in China? China tech sell-off wipes over $260 billion after their new antitrust rules. I can't quite figure out what's going on there other than maybe Jack Ma ran afoul of the Communist Chinese Party. But all of a sudden, China, which major owners of all of these companies, JD, Tencent Holdings, Alibaba, the first shot over the bow was shutting down the Ant IPO for Alibaba. And then they come along with new antitrust rules. Well, that seems out of whack for China, but it is what it is. So I now have to reevaluate the three large cap Chinese stocks that I continue to own in my portfolios. We'll continue to see where that goes. Beijing is also tightening its grip on Hong Kong. Listen to this. Now, I hope this isn't coming to America. They've got a patriotism law. Okay. Who do they consider unpatriotic? In China, Hong Kong's government dismissed four opposition lawmakers immediately after China passed a law permitting the disqualification of officials deemed unpatriotic without having to go through the courts. Okay. Well, if the Democrats, they have control of the House, can they dismiss members of the House on the Republican side because they're in opposition? Is that unpatriotic? Well, that's what's taking place in China right now. If you don't agree with President Xi, you're deemed unpatriotic and you're removed from your place. Scary stuff. Is Boeing a fantastic buy here? We'll talk about that when we come back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. We are surging today here at Gunderson Capital Management, having a very, 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 very good day in the market so far, with a long ways to go yet before the bell closes, okay, before the bell sounds. Boeing has gone from the Dow worst to first as their max nightmare nears its end. And, well, you know what? I revisited Boeing yesterday. It's tempting, you know, as cheap as it has gotten. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I mean, I tried to make a case for it from every single angle, mostly from a valuation angle. Personally, I can't see it, all right? So you go ahead, do what you want to do. You know, Boeing is recovering. Realize that at one time, Boeing was at $446 per share. It is now at $187 from $446. You can do the math. It's lost over half of its value between the 737 MAX and then COVID, a double whammy. I see $1.76 in earnings next year. I see $1.76. That means it's trading at 110 times forward earnings. In addition to that, when I look at the growth rate that's out there on the street right now, it's pretty anemic. Boeing's growth rate right now, we go to the app for that. Let's go to the app's valuation, the valuation portion of the app, which calculates five-year values. I saw it as being pretty anemic. Okay, there's the app right there. I've got so many windows open, including windows to my office. There's a nice breeze blowing here in the office today. Boeing, five-year valuation from Gunderson, $220. That gives it 17% upside potential over the next 5 years. The growth rate right now maybe... Maybe they'll exceed it, but it's 4% per year, 4% per year. So if you take that current $1.76 in earnings and grow that by 4% per year, be my guest, you can do the math, that doesn't get you very far over a five-year period of time. And then you stick on, go ahead, pick the multiple, 20 times, do the math. I come up with a... target price that gives me 17% upside potential over the next 5 years. I require 80% or more. So obviously with it coming in at just 16% over the, that's about as bad as it gets. Now I'm just going to look. No, there's no other. That is the best growth rate I can find, 4% per year. So in my book, I know it's tempting. People like to buy beat-up stocks. But the numbers have to work out. Disney suspends California hotel reservations. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Disney is hopping mad. The holiday season coming up, that's a big part, of, especially the one in Anaheim. The one in Florida is open. Disney wanted to open up all of their hotels for the holidays. Now they are putting more and more workers on furlough. Disneyland President Ken Potrock blamed the state's coronavirus protocols for keeping the plans in limbo. Okay, that's California. All three Disneyland hotels have stopped taking room reservations through the end of 2020. This is a knife in the heart of Disneyland. They can't roll out their movies. Their theme park. Do you know what those theme parks would be like the month of or the week of Thanksgiving and the week of 2 weeks of Christmas, especially between Christmas and New Year's and the hotels and everything. I can't make a case for Disney stock either. Now, those two stocks were a big reason why the Dow was a huge outperformer on Monday and Tuesday. But I cannot make a case from a mathematical point of view and just a logical point of view from either for either one of them. Bill Ackman betting big against the market again. Well, good for Bill Ackman. He made a killing earlier this year. He bought a bunch of corporate credit swaps, which the big guys are able to do, I guess, and cleaned up. But now he says he's bearish on the market. Well, you know, Bill Ackman's Pershing Square, you check the track record of that thing. It hasn't been all that stellar. Okay, what else do we got here? Well, here's our biotech of the day. Can you spell FPRX? Let's see. FPRX is up 225% today. They've got a drug called bimaritazumab. Well, try to ask that from the from your pharmacist over at the Harris Teeter. I would like to have my prescription filled on bimaritazumab. What's it do? Well, pretty good. Gastric cancer. Gastric cancer. It seems to work. The stock up 225%. Five Prime Therapeutics, FPRX. We'll call that our medical breakthrough of the day. Our technology bad news stock of the day, and it's been for years now, Intel. Why would anybody own Intel? More bad news yesterday. Apple's going to make their own chips for their MacBook. Goodbye, Intel. Now, that's been coming for some time. But the rumor is now news. Intel continues to sink while their competitor, let's go to the other side of the street, AMD, on the other hand, is teaming up with IBM now. AMD, which lagged Intel for many, many years. It's funny how things change. Now it's AMD with the big leadership. Actually, them and NVIDIA, I would say, are the big leaders in the chip market these days, while Intel is a big, big laggard. You know, really, Silicon Valley, if you go back and look at the history of Silicon Valley, it all began with Intel. There's an interesting documentary out there about the beginning of Silicon Valley there in California. I agree with this. Former IBM CEO Gina Rometty says remote work is here to stay. Well, that's all well and good for Zoom Video and Peloton, etc., but you got to look at those valuations, okay? Zoom Video has a P.E. ratio of 276. That's not a good-looking chart. You could say this is a good entry point from a technical point of view, but you've got to put on a blindfold and hold your nose and not look at the valuation if you want to buy that stock. The same can be said with many of those work-from-home stocks. Let's see how the work-from-home ETF is doing today. There's actually two now. It's up 1.9%, so you're seeing a little bit of a recovery in the work-from-home stocks. Canopy Growth to sell Martha Stewart branded CBD wellness gummy holiday sampler. Oh, okay. Be careful when you open that baby. Don't leave it laying around for the grandkids. Look, Grandpa, I found a gummy. It's red. And there's a blue one, and boy, do I feel good. Be careful. Canopy Growth, of course, one of the leading cannabis stocks. The cannabis stocks have done very well recently. I would just say this. Is there one that's profitable? If you could show me one that's making a profit, I'd like to know it. None of them are profitable. All right. Guinness recalls non-alcoholic stouts. That's bad news for all of you who drink non-alcoholic stouts. That's the Irish brewer Diageo. Diageo, a non-alcoholic stout. Well, I'm not a drinker, but it doesn't sound very tasty. China auto sales rise 12.5% in October as the virus eases. I continue to watch these Chinese auto stocks. NIO. Boyd, Liotto, etc. I like that sector. Chinese auto sales rise 12.5% in October as the virus eases. Bank of America is calling out XPeng. That's a Chinese automaker. XP. EV. EV, a big term these days. That stock down a little bit. Okay, I looked under a lot of rocks this morning. I found, well, before we'll get to that in the final segment of the show, here's another one that catches my eye today, another piece of news. Dish and Qualcomm to collaborate on the development of O-RAN-compliant 5G network. I would just reiterate, you can go back and read our article on Qualcomm. Qualcomm is a major player in 5G. It's a major holding here at Gunderson Capital. And when you say tech stocks are expensive, well, the forward PE of Qualcomm's about 20. Compare that with Zoom. You can't paint the whole tech sector with the same red brush, can you? We'll be back with my little diamond in the rough, maybe, that I found this morning. This is Bill Gunderson.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment with the Dow down 9. The NASDAQ has lost a little steam, but not much. It's down it's up 138 right now. I actually found three diamonds in the rough here this morning, okay? But I'm going to just talk about one, okay? Some of this is speculation whether or not there'll be a player in all of this, but here's a known fact. Pfizer and BioNTech are going to supply 200 million doses of mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccine in Europe. Okay, now, we heard just a little bit about this on Monday when this news was announced. Unlike regular vaccines, Pfizer's messenger RNA-based shot must be stored at an ultra-cool temperature of around minus 70 degrees Celsius. That's minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, that's like, Nome, Alaska? parts of Minnesota. Does it get that low? Not quite. Minus 94. It must be injected within 5 days to avoid it from going bad. To avail Pfizer shot, countries will need to build from scratch the deep freeze production, storage, and transportation network needed for the vaccine to survive, which will require massive investment. Now, they're saying this means only rich nations are guaranteed access, and even then, perhaps only their own urban populations. Even for rich countries that have pre-ordered doses, including Japan, the U.S., and U.K., delivering Pfizer's vaccine will involve considerable hurdles. As long as trucks break down, electricity cuts out, essential workers get sick, and ice melts. Well, now we're going to go to Brentwood, Tennessee. Okay, I've never been to Brentwood, Tennessee. I plan on touring all of Tennessee at some point in time here. Especially the Blue Ridge Mountains, is that in Tennessee, the hill where Davy Crockett lived? But enter a company, I've had this stock showing up in my Best Stocks Now app. It's number 22. Let me look. CYRX. I can see everybody running for their desk right now to grab a pen. Well, it's ranked today, holy cow, number 11. Out of 5,489. What in the world does this company in Tennessee do for a living? Well, the name of the company is Cryoport, CYRX. It's not a one-trick pony. A lot of these new medicines that they're coming up with the gene splicing and the gene reengineering and whatnot, require transportation in cold, ultra-cold temperatures. Cryoport is a trucking company. Well, but they're not transporting Omaha steaks to your door. You know, you got to keep those cold. You don't want a filet mignon that's gone bad. Cryoport provides cryogenic logistics solutions to the life sciences industry globally. Now, I don't know that they will be used in this effort. I don't know if any of you watch 60 Minutes about the general that's over the logistics part of Operation Warp Speed. I was talking to my neighbor the other day. He's a retired Army colonel that went to the Citadel. He said, I worked under that guy. He's a sharp guy. He's a four-star general. He said, if he said that vaccine will get delivered by the end of the year, it'll get delivered. Well, I don't know if Cryoport's going to play a role, but it's a company that's already set up to transport. I'm sure they don't have the capacity to do this, but they do provide cryogenic logistics, not only to, you know, the potential vaccine from Pfizer, but also to other drugs that are being developed with all of this genetic revolution that's taking place in the life science industry. So we'll make that our stock of the day. I will disclose that I did buy some in our emerging growth portfolio. Okay, that's where I have my Roth IRA and my wife's Roth and several other people at Gunderson Capital Management. We're in that group, the emerging growth, which is my AA baseball team. This is where my top prospects are. We did take a 4% overall position in that portfolio in Cryoport. I hope I'm not crying. Don't cry for me. Cryoport CYRX, which is a cryogenics logistics solutions company to the life science industry globally. How did I find it? Yesterday it was ranked number 22 in my app, or it was an A-plus momentum grade, I want to say. And today I see it's ranked number 11 overall out of 5,489 stocks in my app. The app knows nothing about cryogenics. The app knows nothing about politics. The app knows nothing about vaccines or logistics. That all it detects is unusual moves in stocks very early on. It's my Geiger counter. I heard the ticking of the clock. And I said, what is underneath this thing? I said, well, you know what? If you connect the dots, maybe there's a role. But suffice it to say, this stock has gone from $1 per share in 2017, $1 per share to $57 per share. In just 2 years. Hey, maybe when I get to Brentwood, Tennessee, I know they've got good barbecue. They've got to have good barbecue. Some of that Memphis barbecue. But maybe we'll visit Cryoport there and check in on them, too. I used to visit companies like this and write them up in my earlier years. We'll make that our featured stock of the day, CYRX. I got two more for you tomorrow that I could hardly believe when I saw it this morning. All right. Well, the emerging growth portfolios, for those of you who like, what are these peppers, ghost peppers and all these kind of things. I can't take ghost peppers anymore. I can't even take jalapenos. I got to stay with the mild stuff. And then at the other end, we've got the bond portfolio, which has done quite well with under the tutelage of Paul Carlson. And then we've got the large cap, best growth stocks in the world that we can find. Then we have our dividend portfolio and we have our ultra growth portfolio. You can mix and match all you want. We'll create the recipe, the formula, the plan for you, and the recommendations of how we think your risk tolerance can handle. Give us a call, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Get that newsletter. It's the hottest stock newsletter in the land, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.